Today is Monday, April 12th, 2010. I'm Andrew Longhurst. This is News 101.
Right here on News 101.
Right here on News 101.
Right here on News 101.
What motivated you to become a candidate in the provincial election?
The media portrayal of last week's protest that resulted in polarizing images of black-clad activists taking to the streets.
He was just explaining to us the reason why they wanted to show this film on campus.
The official stance is that we are for the Olympics.
News 101 reporter Brad Pepping was there.
By discriminating against homeless people in Vancouver, there's a disproportionate impact on Aboriginal people as well as people with disabilities.
I was pretty outraged. I mean, it is outrageous.
In-depth coverage from an alternative perspective.
You're listening to News 101, Vancouver's only live, volunteer-produced, student and community newscast, offering you local, national, and international news from an alternative perspective.
What's left of us? Just a big mistake.
On today's show, we have special guests in studios. Leocadio Huracan is a coffee farmer and national coordinator of the Campesino Committee of the Highlands in Guatemala, which is a Mayan farmers association that uses the profits from their coffee sales to fund their social justice work in Guatemala. He left the country and is temporarily in Vancouver due to anonymous death threats to him and his family. Kristen Daub, coordinator of Cafe Etico, is also here in studio. Cafe Etico is committed to creating direct, long-term relationships based on respect, fairness, and equality with small-scale coffee producers, and is based here in Vancouver. All profits support Co-Development Canada and their work with grassroots organizations in Latin America. We are very pleased to have both these two special guests in studio for discussion on fair trade coffee and the current situation in Guatemala for small coffee producers. We'll have all this, plus your free speech radio news headlines and your weekday weather forecast coming up this hour right here on News 101. And first, here are your free speech radio news headlines for Monday.
I'm Nell Abram with the headlines for Free Speech Radio News. Weeks before a Marja-style NATO offensive is to take place in Kandahar, civilian casualties, protests, and an attack on an Afghan intelligence building shake the capital city, Asma Namadi reports.
In the early hours of the morning, NATO-led troops opened fire on a bus full of civilians today in Kandahar City, killing four civilians, including at least one woman and a child, and injuring 18 others. More than 200 people took to the streets soon after the incident to protest the loss of innocent lives. They blocked the road with burning tires, chanting "Death to America." Following the shootings, three armed Taliban fighters wearing suicide vests attacked the National Directorate of Security, or NDS, which is the Afghan government's spy agency. At least one of the bombers was able to detonate his explosives, while two others were killed after an exchange of fire with security forces. A civilian and two intelligence agents were injured in the attack. News of the civilian casualties comes at a time when NATO forces are hoping to gain public support for a major offensive in Kandahar, the largest city in southern Afghanistan. Asma Namadi, FSRN, Kabul.
An official with an Italian humanitarian group says nine aid workers at a hospital it operates in Helmand Province were detained over the weekend to silence them. The group Emergency operates a medical facility in Lashkar Gah and, according to their website, delivers services to victims of war and landmines. These services are provided without regard to which side the injured may be on. War surgeon and founder Gino Strada accused the Afghan government of effectively kidnapping its staff to force the group to leave the region. The nine were arrested Saturday and accused of colluding with the Taliban and plotting to assassinate a local Afghan governor. Local residents protested on Sunday, chanting "Death to the emergency hospital." Explosives and other components of suicide vests were discovered during a search of the facility. Emergency has been highly critical of President Karzai and NATO actions in the region. The U.S. Senate is set to vote Monday on whether to end a stalemate over extending financial aid programs for those without jobs. 200,000 people in the U.S. lost emergency unemployment benefits last week after Republicans objected to passing a temporary measure to continue aid for a few weeks without paying for it up front. Laid-off Americans also lost help paying high-cost premiums to keep health care coverage through COBRA, and the National Flood Insurance Program lapsed, leaving many homeowners living in floodplains at risk. Democrats will need at least one Republican to join them to force action on the emergency extension measure. Mexican Senate leaders and cabinet officials are holding a closed-door meeting Monday to discuss the administration's drug war strategy. Shannon Young has more.
The high-level meeting comes after yet another bloody weekend in Mexico. 8 people died in drug-related violence in the border state of Tamaulipas, and an explosive device was thrown at the U.S. consulate in the city of Nuevo Laredo. The consulate in Nuevo Laredo remains closed to the public today as part of the ongoing investigation. Mexican states immediately south of Texas have been experiencing a surge in drug-related violence as the Gulf Cartel battles with its former enforcement wing, the Zetas, for control of strategic territory. Thousands marched Sunday in the cities of Tampico and Monterrey, calling for an end to the violence. Meanwhile, the vicious turf war in Ciudad Juarez may be nearing an end, according to an FBI assessment leaked to the Associated Press. Mexican newspapers are widely citing statements by the FBI spokesperson in El Paso that the majority of drugs passing through Ciudad Juarez now belong to the Sinaloa cartel. The battle for the Juarez drug route has killed more than 5,000 people since 2008. Shannon Young, FSRN, Mexico.
Sirens wailed in Israel while the nation came to a standstill as a moment of silence was observed in remembrance of some 6 million Jews killed. People with disabilities, homosexuals, Roma, and many Soviet civilians and prisoners of war were among the groups Adolf Hitler's Nazis sought to exterminate. Large crowds continued to mass in front of the Polish presidential palace today, paying respect to President Lech Kaczynski and his wife Maria. They were among 96 people killed in a plane accident on Saturday. Interim President Bronislaw Komorowski addressed the nation today, assuring Polish citizens that the government will stay afloat despite the tragedy that also killed dozens of Polish politicians. Komorowski's role is a sensitive one, as he was a candidate in the campaign to replace the late president. He's worked in coalition with all political parties in responding to the crisis. For Free Speech Radio News from WMNF Community Radio in Tampa, I'm Nell Abram.
And thank you to Free Speech Radio News for providing us with those headlines. You're listening to News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. In studio, we have two very special guests. Leocadio Huracan is a coffee farmer, national coordinator of the Campesino Committee of the Highlands in Guatemala, which is a Mayan farmers association that uses the profits from their coffee sales to fund their social justice work in the country. He left the country just over 2 months ago and is temporarily in Vancouver due to anonymous death threats to him and his family. Kristen Dobb, coordinator of Cafe Etico, is also here in studio, and she is the coordinator of Cafe Etico, which works to provide fair trade coffee to buyers and coffee shops and grocery stores throughout the Lower Mainland and Vancouver especially. So I want to thank both of them for joining us here in studio. It's a tremendous opportunity, and thanks again for being with us.
Gracias por estar con nosotros, y es una oportunidad tremenda para aprender de la situación.
And Kristen will be translating, so we thank her for that effort as well. And we'll start out, and I want to start out by asking Leocadio about his life and how he became involved in organizing for small coffee farmers, just about his initial work in coffee farming and how we got to the place that he is today.
Bueno, quiero empezar preguntándole acerca de su vida y cómo llegó a ser involucrado en la organización de los pequeños cafecultores.
Bueno, primero agradecerles a ustedes por esta oportunidad de compartir con su amable audiencia.
First off, thank you very much for having me here and giving me the opportunity to share with your lovely audience.
Bueno, ya dijeron, soy Leocadio Huracán, indígena campesino guatemalteco.
And as you said, my name is Leocadio Huracán. I'm an indigenous campesino from Guatemala.
Bueno, la verdad es de que el CCDA surge en el 82. Sin embargo, yo me incorporé en el CCDA a finales del 88.
So the CCDA actually was started in 1982, but I actually became involved at the end of 1988.
Como seguramente mucho de la población canadiense sabe del conflicto armado que vivió Guatemala durante 36 años.
And as many Canadians surely know, this was during the 36-year civil war that took place in Guatemala.
Entonces el CCDA cuando surge en el 82, desafortunadamente, se sometió a una represión bastante fuerte y entonces tuvo que hacer su trabajo de manera clandestina.
So in 1982, when the CCDA began, it was unfortunately under great repression and had to do its work in an underground way.
Entonces, en el 88, los dirigentes que estaban en ese entonces en el CCDA realizaron una serie de jornadas de capacitación y fue entonces cuando me incorporé en estas jornadas de capacitación.
And in 1988, several members of the CCDA did a series of training sessions, day-long training sessions, and that is when I became involved in the CCDA, was through one of those training sessions.
A pesar de que yo provengo de una familia campesina que por muchos años estuvo trabajando en las grandes fincas en Guatemala, solo tenía sexto grado de primaria de escolaridad.
So, in spite of coming from, I came from a group of a family of small coffee farmers who worked in a large coffee farm, and I was only able to complete my sixth grade of education.
Cuando me incorporo en el CCDA, a pesar de que solo tenía sexto grado de primaria, digamos, en comparación al resto de compañeros que estaban organizados en el CCDA, pues era el que tenía mayor preparación académica. Entonces, inmediatamente, entonces los compañeros me involucraron para que yo fuera el secretario de libros de actas del CCDA.
And when I joined the CCDA, having a sixth grade education was actually quite high compared to many of the other members of the CCDA. So because I had a higher level of education, the members of the CCDA put me to work right away as a bookkeeper for the organization.
Entonces, a partir de ahí, integré la junta directiva y luego, dos años después, me eligen como... por primera vez, coordinador general del CCDA, más o menos en el 91-92.
And from there, I joined the board of directors. 2 years later, I was elected as the general coordinator and began working in that way.
Durante el conflicto armado interno en Guatemala, uno de los graves problemas que sufrió la población indígena campesina fue la militarización de las comunidades.
During the Civil War, one of the biggest issues that the population suffered from was the militarization of their communities.
Entonces, en el 92, cuando estaba en la coordinación del CCDA, en ese entonces nosotros logramos impulsar una lucha de la población civil en San Lucas Tolimán y logramos desmilitarizar la población.
And in 1992, when I was the general coordinator of the CCDA, we were able to organize the community of San Lucas Tolimán to demilitarize that community.
Entonces eso nos levantó un perfil enorme, digamos, en los medios de comunicación nacional. Pues el CCDA entonces ocupa las primeras páginas de los medios de comunicación escrita, radios nacionales y televisión.
And that action really gave us quite a big profile at the national level in Guatemala. We were on the front pages of newspapers, on all the radio shows, etc.
And sorry, now I'm gonna jump in. Did that contribute to the political situation, and can you talk about how that affected the work that the CCDA does now, and how this is affecting obviously the security of its members?
¿Nos puede explicar cómo eso implicó para el trabajo corriente del actual del CCDA y cómo afectó a los miembros, cómo llegó a ser a esta situación de seguridad? ¿O?
Sí, la situación es que cuando surge el CCDA, prácticamente uno de los principales objetivos era denunciar la violación a derechos humanos que estaba ocurriendo en las comunidades indígenas.
So, well, when the CCDA began, the main objective of its organization was to denounce the human rights violations that were taking place in the communities.
Durante el conflicto armado interno, el ejército implementó una campaña de tierra arrasada en comunidades indígenas.
During the Civil War, the army implemented a campaign of scorched earth.
Desaparecieron más de 640 comunidades indígenas.
640. And over 640 communities, indigenous communities, disappeared.
Entonces, pues nuestro principal objetivo en ese momento era proteger la vida de las comunidades.
And so our main goal at that time was to protect the lives of the people, our own lives of the people in the communities.
Y definitivamente al lograr, digamos, desmilitarizar una población de más de 25,000 habitantes, eso era un logro definitivamente para su seguridad.
And achieving the dismilitarization of a community of over 5,000 people was like a huge achievement in that.
Aunque también eso significaba para nosotros un riesgo enorme porque estamos atentando los intereses del poder militar en el país.
But of course it also represented a major risk for us because we were going up against the power structures in Guatemala.
Pero bueno, eso era uno de los principales desafíos que tenía el CCDA y bueno, lograr y trabajar para la justicia social y los respetos de los derechos humanos.
And, you know, but that was the big challenge that we faced at that time and we achieved it. And so we continued working around the defense of human rights and social justice.
Can you talk more about the power structures that do exist in the country and the division of wealth in the country today?
¿Nos puede hablar más de las estructuras de poder que existen en el país ahora y la desigualdad que existe entre los ricos y no ricos?
Yo creo que es importante hablar un poco sobre el contexto histórico de Guatemala.
So I think in this case it's important to talk about the historical context of Guatemala.
Desde la invasión en las Américas y principalmente la colonización, la reforma liberal en Guatemala ha tenido sus efectos gravísimos para tener una población tan desigual.
Since the invasion of the Americas, since colonization, since the liberal reforms, these have all had terrible impacts for the rural population and the indigenous population in Guatemala.
Históricamente, la población indígena campesina hemos sido sometidos bajo trabajos fuertes, bajo la explotación, bajo la exclusión.
Historically, the indigenous and campesino population has been subjected to exploitative work, exploitation in general, exclusion.
Entonces, durante la política de la reforma liberal que implementó el presidente Justo Rufino Barrios en Guatemala.
And during the period of liberal reform, which was implemented by President Justo Rufino Barrios.
Justamente en este gobierno se introdujo la producción del café en el país.
And it was during that to government time that the production of coffee was introduced into the country.
Este gobierno entregó grandes cantidades de tierra a los extranjeros y los criollos en Guatemala.
That government gave huge tracts of land to foreigners and to the criollo population in Guatemala.
Y no solo tierra, sino también grupos de población indígena para que hagan el cultivo del café para los propietarios.
And not just land, but also groups of people who they gave to those people to cultivate the land and to work the coffee.
Entonces, históricamente, la población indígena campesina ha sido quien ha sostenido la economía del país, porque Guatemala, hasta hace apenas 15 años, su base económica era sobre la agricultura.
So historically, it's been the indigenous campesino population that have been those who have sustained the economy in Guatemala, because up until just barely 15 years ago, that was the primary source of economy for Guatemala.
Pero no somos esta población que ha sostenido la economía quienes disfrutamos de las riquezas que hemos generado en el país. Es un sector que aún permanece ahora en el poder y que tiene las riquezas del país, que es únicamente el 2% de la población.
But those of us who sustain this economy are not those who enjoy the great wealth that it generates. It's a very small sector, that same sector that's still in power and represents only 2% of the population.
And it looks like we have a caller, so I'm going to ask that caller to stay on the line or keep calling back. We're going to take a break in about 8 minutes, so please call us back during that break, and we're going to continue the interview. This is Leocadio Huracan. He's the national coordinator of the a group that works for social justice in Guatemala on behalf organizing among coffee small-scale coffee producers in the country. Also joined by Kristen Dobb. She is the coordinator of Cafe Erico, based here in Vancouver. And the CCDA, which Leocadio is here representing and had to leave the country because of anonymous death threats. The Cafe Erico brings coffee from the CCDA at an equitable prices and respectful and fair prices. So we're joined in studio with them, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. We're going to continue with the interview, and I want to talk about, you were talking about the situation where the government had brought in given large corporations control over large tracts of land in the...
Individuals,
okay. I want to ask you, because Leocadio, you have... worked in sort of these large-scale operations. What is that like, and what are the conditions, and what are some of the experiences from that?
Leocadio, hablaba usted del gobierno que dio grandes parcelas de tierra a individuos, y yo sé que hablaba de los 1800, pero quiere saber un poco más desde su experiencia, ¿cómo es vivir y trabajar en un grande finca así?
Sí, yo creo que, bueno, yo, como dije al principio, yo soy hijo de un campesino que estuvo siendo explotado por muchos años en una gran finca.
Yes, as I said earlier, I am the son of a campesino who was an exploited worker in a large coffee farm.
Es una lástima que cuando yo apenas tenía 14 años, mi papá murió. Y yo soy el segundo hijo de 8 hermanos, entonces eso significó que yo y mi hermano mayor teníamos que trabajar en una finca para poder buscar la sobrevivencia de la familia.
And unfortunately, when I was 14, my father passed away, and I was the second of 8 children, and so it fell on myself and my older brother to work in the coffee farm to ensure the survival of my family.
Entonces nosotros limpiamos el cafetal. Hicimos los trabajos para la producción del café, cortamos café en las grandes fincas, cortamos caña también de azúcar en las grandes fincas, y era un trabajo muy, muy fuerte, muy explotado, y para los dos que trabajábamos con mi hermano apenas recibíamos un salario de una persona, digamos.
And so our work included maintaining the coffee plants, picking coffee, cutting sugar cane. It was all very hard work. And between the two of us, my brother and I working, we really only received the salary of one person.
Y siempre hay esta explotación porque normalmente el trabajo debe ser de 8 horas para los campesinos. En Guatemala sigue siendo de 10 o 12 horas de trabajo.
And I mean, there's always exploitation. The workday is supposed to be an 8-hour workday in Guatemala, but it continues to be a 10 to 12-hour workday.
Y para los campesinos que viven en las grandes propiedades, ellos no tienen vivienda digna ni los servicios básicos para una familia que puede vivir de manera digna.
And for the campesinos who are living in large land, in large farms, they don't have dignified living conditions. They don't have the proper social services that they need.
El precio de la canasta básica vital para una familia de 5 personas hoy día en Guatemala es el equivalente de $15.
The price of the basic food basket for a family to survive es por día,
sí.
Per day is approximately $15.
Sin embargo, lo que se está pagando en las fincas es el equivalente de $3 o $4 por día.
And what they actually pay for a day's work in the fincas is the equivalent to about $3 or $4 a day.
Entonces, perdón, no nos debe extrañar entonces porque en el 2009 hubieron 252 personas muertas por hambre.
So we shouldn't be surprised that in 2009 there were 252 people in the country who died from starvation.
Además de eso, Guatemala actualmente tiene una población infantil de menos de 5 años de edad que vive en desnutrición crónica porque el 49% de esa población padece desnutrición.
And of Guatemala's population of 5 years or younger, 49% of children under age 5 live in chronic malnutrition.
And now, can you contrast the difference between the living conditions and the experiences of small-scale coffee producers who are part of the CCDA and to the experiences that you described in those conditions where you're barely able to provide for enough for your family?
¿Podría contrastar un poco, explicar la diferencia entre un cafetalero que es miembro del CCDA con alguien que vive y trabaja en un finca grande?
Sí, yo creo que la gran diferencia es que un trabajador, un obrero, campesino que trabaja en una gran finca, no se le da ni siquiera el mínimo derecho de organizarse.
So I think the major difference is that a worker who works in a large finca doesn't even have the right to organize.
Entonces eso significa que no puede pensar para su desarrollo, no puede planificar su desarrollo porque está sumergido a lo que le dictan en las fincas.
So that means that a worker can't think about his own development and his own development because he's basically submitted to the conditions of the finca.
Mientras que un productor comunitario que participa en Café Justicia tiene la libertad de organizarse, tiene la libertad de planificar su desarrollo y tiene también la libertad de capacitarse.
The difference, a CCDA member who owns their own land who is selling coffee on the fair trade market, they have the right to organize, the right to plan for their development and to do training and education.
Mientras que en las grandes fincas entonces se le paga $3 o $4 por día, digamos, a un trabajador, un pequeño productor comunitario que trabaja para Café Justicia, que produce su propio café, el equivalente de salario que tiene por día es de $8 o $9.
In a large finca, your worker will get approximately $3 to $4 a day. A small-scale coffee grower who's selling their coffee to the CCDA down the Café Justicia market would be making a salary that's equivalent to $8 or $9 a day.
Además de eso, en los últimos 4 años, Café Justicia ha construido 15 viviendas anualmente para productores que vivían en casas forradas con plástico. Ahora tienen viviendas con bloque, madera, lámina y piso de cemento.
Also, in the last 4 years, the CCDA has built, con las ganancias de Café Justicia, with the profits from our coffee sales, we've built 15 houses a year that are for coffee farmers who were living in plastic tarp houses.
Hay programas de educación también que apoya a hijos de pequeños productores de escasos recursos para que vayan a la escuela. Estamos apoyando desde el nivel primario hasta universitarios. Incluso hay un compañero que está estudiando ciencias políticas en Cuba gracias a este programa.
We also have education programs that provide educational support to small-scale farmers who don't have enough resources to send their kids to school. And we support people both at the primary level right through to university. We even have somebody who's right now studying political science in Cuba because of this program.
Y también todos los asociados del CCA tienen el servicio de salud. Próximamente vamos a inaugurar la construcción de un hospital en el campo, la cual en Guatemala, con las condiciones que tiene la población del campo, esto será un privilegio para los productores.
We also provide health services to our community members. In fact, we're actually about to be building a small hospital in the rural area, which for Guatemala, it's like a privilege to have a hospital in your rural area.
Now, I want to ask, does the violence that CCDA members have experienced, and maybe you can go into the extent to which the security of CCDA members in the area, but is the violence coming from opposition to these specific programs and projects, or is it coming out of opposition to the CCDA in general?
Y la violencia que ha experimentado miembros del CCDA, ¿cree usted que es una resulta de algún proyecto específico que hace el CCDA o es en oposición al CCDA en general?
Miren, Café Justicia es el éxito que hemos logrado por las luchas de búsqueda de justicia social en Guatemala, porque para lograr la justicia en Guatemala es importante que se hagan cambios estructurales en el país.
So, Café Justicia, the Fair Trade Coffee we market, is one of the success stories we've had in our search for social justice in Guatemala, because in order to seek social justice, you really have to change the structure of the power structures of Guatemala.
Entonces, para nosotros, los campesinos indígenas en Guatemala, es importante que Guatemala experimente una nueva reforma agraria en el país. Y eso definitivamente busca la democratización de las riquezas que se ha concentrado históricamente en el país.
So, for indigenous campesinos, it's really important in Guatemala that there be a new agrarian reform, one which seeks to democratize and redistribute the wealth in our country.
Por otro lado, también hay que reformar algunas leyes para que las instituciones creadas en el Estado puedan también tener orientación de trabajo y desarrollo hacia los campesinos e indígenas que históricamente han sido excluidos.
And also we need reform to many of our laws so that state institutions will be aimed at doing development with the very indigenous campesino people who have been excluded from our country's development for so long.
Y definitivamente es necesario la creación también de nuevas leyes.
And also, of course, the creation of new laws.
Y eso es lo que está haciendo el CCDA también, y eso atenta los intereses del poder económico, político y militar en un país como Guatemala, que tiene un poder absoluto sobre la riqueza.
And so that's what the CCDA is trying to do, and that's coming up against power structures, the oligarchy, the military, the wealthy, that those are the very people whose interest it is in to keep that from changing.
And you're listening to a discussion with Leocadio Huracan, a coffee farmer, national coordinator of the Campesino Committee of the Highlands in Guatemala, and also joined here with Kristen Dobb, coordinator of Cafe Etico, based here in Vancouver. And we're going to take a short break, and your weather forecast is coming up. Stay tuned. This is News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
You know, Joe, you start with these riffs in your head.
We're good.
And something you want to say, and you want to spin gold. But the thing is, people don't want your sounds. They only want...
You people, you're the fucking coolest.
Just fucking use you. You know what I'm saying, Joe?
What is that? What is it? One more shot of salute?
Sore Throats, Clapping Hands, hosted by Robert Privet, Monday at midnight on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
And in the end, it's love. And in the end, it's love. And in the end, it's love.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, daily grassroots, global, unembedded, international, independent news hour. And this is CITR 101.9 FM.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit livemusicvancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. Liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
Last night, I left the bar. I was thirsty, and I don't drink wine. I was desperate. I needed blood. I turned to the only place I could, the only place that could possibly help me.
Hello, Canadian Blood Services.
Hello. I need some blood. A. Positive or negative, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, we're all out of A positive and negative. Would you like some O instead?
No. No, that won't do. Thank you. Good night. Save me. Save yourself. Give blood. Voluntarily.
This message was brought to you courtesy of the Canadian Blood Services and CITR Radio 101.9 FM.
And this is News 101, broadcasting live from the Student Union Building at UBC and on streaming live at CITR.ca and on your FM dial at 101.9. And it's now time for your weekday weather forecast. For that, we go to Daniel Casanova. Daniel, what's in store for us?
Thanks, Andrew. Well, I hope you took advantage of the nice weather this week, because this week will be gloomy. A stationary low-pressure system to the south will bring clouds overnight and into tomorrow. Incoming cloud bands from the Pacific will continue to provide cloudy conditions with low chance of precipitation. Here's your weekday forecast. Monday evening to the overnight, 40% chance of showers and periods of high winds, low of 8 degrees. For Tuesday, there will be a mix of sun and clouds with 40% chance of isolated showers. High of 13, low of 5 degrees. On Wednesday, it will be cloudy with a high of 14 and a low of 4. Thursday will be mainly cloudy with a 60% chance of showers, high of 13, low of 6. And finally, for Friday, it will be cloudy with a small percent chance of rain, a high of 14 degrees, low of 8. Currently, it is 11 degrees and cloudy at YVR. That's your weather this week, brought to you by the UBC Storm Club. For News 101, I'm Daniel Casanova.
And thank you, Daniel, for that forecast. We're going to return to our discussion with Leocadio Huracan and Kristen Dobb. And but before that, we're going to go to a short break. Stay tuned for more of that discussion here on News 101.
The AIDS Vancouver Helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the helpline is one of many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The helpline number is 604-696-4666 or contact us online at www.aidsvancouver.org.
I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
And welcome back to News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. We're now going to return to our discussion with Leocadio Huracan and Kristen Dobb. Now, I want to ask you, Leocadio, do you see an increase in the amount of violence directed towards members of the CCDA and small coffee producers? And if so, what kind of intimidation tactics and what kind of violence is evident in the country?
Leocadio, quiero preguntarle si cree usted que hay un aumento en el nivel de violencia en contra de miembros del CCDA y pequeños caficultores. Y si hay un aumento, ¿cuáles son algunos de los métodos de intimidación y violencia que emplee los que lo hacen?
Bueno, sí, definitivamente. En los últimos 2 años, el CCDA ha incrementado su nivel de incidencia con las propuestas de cambio estructural que queremos en Guatemala.
Absolutely. In the last 2 years, the CCDA has really increased the amount of advocacy it does for structural change in the country.
Y entonces también ha aumentado la persecución y la represión en contra del CCDA.
And so the persecution repression against the CCDA has also increased.
El 1 de mayo del 2008 nosotros fuimos atacados con armas de fuego, con un ataque directo.
On the 1st of May, 2008, we were attacked by people bearing firearms and shot at directly.
Solamente un día después de haber instalado la mesa de diálogo sobre el tema de desarrollo rural con este gobierno.
And that was one day after opening a dialogue table with the government on agrarian reform.
Nosotros hicimos una campaña sobre impunidad que hay en Guatemala, en Europa, en noviembre de 2008.
In November of 2008, in Europe, we opened a campaign against impunity in Guatemala.
Entonces logramos que una misión de la Organización Internacional del Trabajo llegara a verificar esa impunidad en Guatemala en febrero de 2009.
And we were able to achieve that the International Labor Organization do a tour of Guatemala to confirm what was happening in Guatemala.
Y la misma misión internacional efectivamente se da cuenta de que la administración de justicia en Guatemala está vinculado con el crimen organizado, el narcotráfico y la delincuencia.
And in that mission, the delegation was able to found out that the Ministry of Justice in Guatemala was directly linked to organized crime, to drug trafficking, and
¿y cuál fue el tercero?
Narcotráfico, delincuencia.
And drug trafficking.
Y entonces eso dimos a conocer a través de una conferencia de prensa el 14 de febrero y cinco días después, el 19 de febrero, yo recibo varias llamadas de teléfono de amenaza de muerte.
So we talked about this and we did a press conference around this on the 14th of February of 2009. And 5 days later, I received anonymous death threats.
Esta vez, el 2 de febrero del 2010, presentamos un informe que se llama El costo de la libertad sindical en Guatemala.
This most recent time was on February 2nd of 2010. We gave a report on the cost of political organizing, basically, in Guatemala.
Este informe contiene datos de 42 asesinatos cometidos en los últimos dos años en contra del movimiento sindical indígena y campesino.
This report contained information and about 42 assassinations that had taken place against union, indigenous, and campesino organizers in the country.
Y también contiene datos de más de 260 casos de secuestro, de ataques, de amenazas, y de violaciones sexuales en contra de dirigentes mujeres en sindicales.
It also included facts about over 260 cases of kidnapping, threats, and sexual assaults against female members of the union movement.
Y una semana después de haber presentado este informe, pues roban 18,000 libras de café en nuestro beneficio de procesamiento Café Justicia.
1 week later, over 18,000 pounds of coffee were stolen from our coffee processing plant.
Pero no solo del TCDA también ha incrementado esa represión, sino también en contra del movimiento popular en Guatemala.
But it's not just against the CCDA that violence has been increasing, it's also against the popular movement in general in Guatemala.
And I want to talk about the personal situation for you. You have a family, and obviously I'm sure that was a major factor in deciding that you had to leave the country for your family's safety. How much did that play into it, and how much did it become the fact that you really needed to leave for their sake?
Y hablando de su situación personal, yo sé que usted tiene una familia y me imagino que eso fue un factor bastante grande en su decisión de salir. ¿Fue así? ¿Cómo fue una cuestión de su familia? O?
Miren, and why Canada?
¿Y por qué Canadá?
Sí, miren, desafortunadamente, después del robo de café, nosotros hemos hecho todas las denuncias de todos los ataques que hemos sufrido.
So yeah, unfortunately, you know, after the coffee theft, we've denounced over the last 2 years all the different cases of violence against us.
Hicimos lo mismo con este robo y desafortunadamente el 13 de febrero, solamente 3 días después, yo recibo dos cartas de amenaza de muerte.
So and we did the same thing this time after the coffee theft, on the 13th of February, just 3 days after the coffee theft, I received two death threats.
Afortunadamente tenemos acompañantes de Canadá, grupo de solidaridad que están en Guatemala y nos dieron acompañamiento en el país, y tenemos una relación también durante ya muchos años, más de 19 años con Bicicasa, con Codesarrollo Canadá. y entonces logramos tener un refugio en la capital, en Guatemala.
But fortunately, we in our community, there are a number, we have relationships with a lot of human rights accompaniers from Canada who are in Guatemala, and they accompanied us immediately after these death threats. And we also have a very long relationship, over 19 years, with BC CASA, a group in Vancouver, and with Co-Development Canada.
Desafortunadamente, solamente un día después de habernos nosotros ido para la capital de la comunidad, a la capital, el día domingo 14 de febrero, y recibimos otra carta de amenaza para mi hija y para mi familia. Entonces, eso fue la que nos obligó a tomar una decisión de salir fuera del país.
So, but unfortunately, we went with the human rights accompaniers, we went from our community to Guatemala City, but unfortunately, only one day after arriving in the city on the 14th of February, I and my daughter both received another death threat against the family.
Nosotros somos afiliados a la Confederación Sindical Internacional.
We're members of the International Labor Federation.
Y entonces tuvimos ofrecimiento de refugio con compañeros sindicalistas de 11 países.
So we had offers of places to be of refuge in over 11 countries.
Pero ¿por qué optamos por Canadá nosotros?
But why did we choose Canada?
Seguramente algunos de los ciudadanos canadienses saben que el gobierno canadiense está apoyando fuertemente financieramente a la Comisión Internacional contra la Impunidad en Guatemala.
As some Canadian citizens will likely know, the government in Canada is financing in part the commission, the International Commission Against Impunity in Guatemala.
Entonces, haber planteado la venida para Canadá, nosotros tuvimos reuniones con la Embajada de Canadá en Guatemala.
So once we had the idea of going to Canada, we had some meetings with the ambassador of Canada to Guatemala.
Y estuve hace dos semanas en Ottawa y tuve una reunión con el Ministerio de Relaciones Exteriores.
And 2 weeks ago, I was in Ottawa and I had a meeting with the Minister of Exterior Relations, Foreign Affairs.
Donde le hemos pedido que pide a la CICIG para que investigue los casos de violación a derechos humanos fuertes que está sufriendo el movimiento sindical indígena y campesino en Guatemala.
And while I was there, we asked the Minister of Foreign Affairs that he ask, I assume it's a he, ask the Commission of International, the International Commission Against Impunity in Guatemala, that they investigate these cases of violence.
Entonces, eso fue una de las razones principales por qué la venida a Canadá.
So that was one of the main reasons for coming to Canada.
Great, and we only have about 8 minutes left, but I want to ask you, you've been traveling the country, Leocadio, and speaking to Canadians. Are you surprised? The response, do you often get questions asked that sometimes surprise you about the existence of this type of violence and this type of insecurity to members of the labor movement and small farmers? I guess to put that more concisely, are you surprised that more people in Canada and other countries are not aware of this type of injustice?
Cuando usted, solo nos queda 8 minutos, pero quiero preguntarle, usted ha viajado mucho en el país, en Canadá. ¿Le sorprende a veces que le sorprende a los canadienses que exista todavía esos hechos de violencia, esas estructuras de inequidad, etcétera, etcétera?
Yeah, yo creo que sí. Y eso es también un llamado que hacemos a la cooperación internacional, de que muchas veces cuando no se contribuye a cambios a buscar los cambios estructurales en un país, pues la cooperación se sigue dando como en un saco roto. Un saco sin fondo. Por gusto, pues, la cooperación.
So, yeah, I think, yes, there is often a lot of surprise. And people feel like, you know, when there isn't structural change in the country also, though, they're just, it's like they're throwing good money into a bag without a bottom, right? Because it's just, there's constantly more need, more need.
Y es lo que está ocurriendo en Guatemala. Yo creo que el gobierno, el Estado tiene complicidad porque no ha garantizado al país la seguridad que le corresponde al país. El Estado tiene la obligación de brindarle seguridad a sus ciudadanos.
And, you know, that's why in Guatemala, I really think that the government and the state is complicit in this state of insecurity, because they don't do, they don't guarantee the safety of their citizens, which they are obligated to do as the state, as the government.
El mismo estado de los dos años de gobierno que tiene este presidente, han habido cuatro cambios de ministros del interior.
So in the last 2 years that this government, this most the current government's been in power, there have been four changes for the Ministry of State Security.
Y también han habido cambios de directores de la policía, incluso capturas por supuestos vínculos con el narcotráfico y con la delincuencia, el crimen organizado.
There's also been a number, there's been several changes to the director of police, including arrests for direct links to narcotrafficking.
Entonces, nosotros hemos pedido a la solidaridad y a la cooperación de estar vigilantes de lo que ocurre en Guatemala y seguir acompañando al movimiento popular en Guatemala para que pueda seguir haciendo su trabajo de búsqueda de justicia social.
And so we're asking for the solidarity and cooperation of Canadians of being aware and being in vigil of what's going on in Guatemala, so, and accompanying the popular movement so that we can continue our work for social justice.
Creemos que han habido avances, han habido éxitos. El mismo Café Justicia es un éxito que hay que seguir fortaleciendo y seguirlo rescatando.
And, but there have been advances, there have been successes. Café Justicia, or the coffee that we export, has been a real, has been a huge success for us.
Si elevamos, si mejoramos la capacidad de incidencia de Café Justicia y si vamos a encontrar una voluntad política de los gobiernos, creemos que los guatemaltecos somos capaces de construir una nueva Guatemala.
And I really believe that if we continue improving the work of Café Justicia, and if we are also able to get the political will of the country, we will be able to transform our country into a better place.
Y sobre eso es que estamos trabajando en el CCDA.
And that's what we're working on in the CCDA.
And this question is for both of you, but Kirsten, you could talk about the work that Café Etico does and briefly about what Co-Development Canada does. But other than buying coffee, fair trade coffee from producers like that are member part of the CCDA, what can ordinary Canadians do? What can students do? What can people do that often feel like they can't have a direct impact on the situation do?
Aparte de comprar café, que me va a pedir que yo hablo de eso, ¿qué pueden hacer los estudiantes aquí, los canadienses, para estar en solidaridad con ustedes?
Yo creo que un importante pregunta y actividad que pueden hacer los estudiantes. Los estudiantes siempre han jugado un papel muy importante en el trabajo del CCDA.
So I think an important question or activity that students in particular can play. Students have always played a really important role with the CCDA in our work.
Y afortunadamente hay una diversidad de acciones que se pueden hacer también para la solidaridad y acompañamiento del CCDA.
And there's a diversity of actions that people can take to accompany the CCDA.
Desde participar en acciones urgentes, enviando cartas de presión a la embajada y a nuestros gobiernos.
From participating in urgent action campaigns and sending letters to the government of Guatemala and to the ambassador of Canada in Guatemala.
La sensibilización y la educación al público canadiense de lo que ocurre también en el país, como divulgar estos programas en que estamos ahorita en la emisora.
Educating Canadians and the public about what does happen in Guatemala, just like we're doing right now, like you're doing right now on this radio station.
Y por supuesto, las visitas, el acompañamiento en el país es muy importante. Si hay estudiantes que quieren hacer alguna pasantía, alguna práctica, alguna investigación, pues serán bienvenidos en el CCDA y eso también nos nutre a ambos.
And of course, coming to Guatemala and visiting us and accompanying us there is also really important. I mean, if there are students who want to do an internship or a research project, you're welcome to come and work with us.
Well, hopefully we'll be doing reporting from Guatemala. That would be very fascinating.
Excellent.
But I want to end and ask you, Kirsten, what Café Etico does and what CODEV does and the fine work that's going on based out in our own city, in Vancouver.
Okay, great. Well, Cafe Etico is a fair trade coffee company that buys coffee directly from farmers in Nicaragua and Guatemala. And from Guatemala, we buy our coffee from the Campesino Committee of the Highlands, and we buy at fair prices. And we also do education work around the situation in Guatemala, around fair trade and trade issues in general with Guatemala. And Cafe Etico is owned by Co-Development Canada, which is a nonprofit group based here in Vancouver. And 100% of our profits support CODEV's work with grassroots organizations throughout Latin America. CODEV works on a huge variety of issues. They work with grassroots organizations in Latin America. We have no staff overseas. But they work supporting sweatshop worker rights, Colombian human rights, access to public education and healthcare, and a whole range of issues. In terms of Cafe Etico and getting Guatemalan coffee, which is a really concrete way that people can support the CCDA, the coffee's really delicious, and you can feel really good about drinking the delicious coffee because you've just heard all the amazing work it supports. The closest store to UBC to get coffee is Top 10 Produce over on West 10th Avenue near Sasamat. And you can also visit our website at etico.ca, and there's a list of retail locations there. And if anybody wants to write a letter about this situation, send me an email at etico@etico.ca. That's etico@etico.ca. I'll send you the templates, I'll send you the information, and you can send your own letters off.
And we only have about a minute left, but Leocadio, is there anything you'd like to leave our listeners with before we go?
Nos queda un minuto, pero ¿hay algo que quiere dejar con nuestros oyentes?
Claro, yo primero agradecerles la oportunidad que nos dan siempre el CCDA cuando alguien del CCDA viene en Vancouver.
First, I want to thank you for the opportunity which the CCDA to talk here, which the CCDA is so fortunate to always have invitations when we're here in Vancouver.
Y definitivamente invitar a los jóvenes estudiantes para seguir involucrándose en actividades que promueve la justicia en los pueblos que aún vivimos mucha, mucha injusticia.
And definitely to invite all the students here to get involved in activities that promote justice in the many, many communities that still live in such injustice.
Para nosotros, trabajar por la paz es necesario impulsar la justicia en las comunidades y en los pueblos que aún existe mucha marginación.
For us, the most important thing is to work for peace and to promote justice in the many communities that are a part of our organization.
Bueno, entonces tienen la invitación para participar.
So you're all invited to participate.
Well, thank you so much, both of you, Leocadio and Kirsten. We really appreciate you coming in studio to talk with us. And I want to let our listeners know that this interview will be available as a video on our website at citr.ca. And again, thanks to them for graciously coming out here today. And we really hope Leocadio and his family can return home as soon as possible. And that's our program for April 12th, 2010. Today's newscast was brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts. If you'd like to share your comments, give us a hot news tip, or get involved with the show, contact us. Our phone number is 604-822-5334, or you can email news@citr.ca. Be sure to follow us on Twitter with the username CITRNews, and you can subscribe to our podcast and listen to past shows at citr.ca. Brad Pepink and Adam Janusz produce this radio program. For more news, join us Friday at 5 p.m. for another edition of News 101. I'm Andrew Longhurst from the entire news team at CITR. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Career Fast Track right here on 101.9 FM on CITR.